The Spirit works in us in different ways. And sometimes the Spirit catches our attention in different ways and with different methods. It's no surprise that we receive that depending on what we need at a given point in time and what God needs to do in order to gain our attention. So, for example, in the first reading, God comes on really, really strong at this vision of the Acts the Apostles has of the first Pentecost. It says that God arrives with the sound of a strong driving wind. Now, we here in Joplin know what a strong driving wind can be like, do we not? Especially on that 10th anniversary of the tornado. And most of us who lived through that would say that we would rather not ever go there again, okay? We'd like to, you know, not have something quite so strong to come and to overwhelm us. Interestingly enough, my father would have always said that I needed something strong like that to get my attention. My dad would always say things like, "Do you really need a 2x4 upside your head to get you to understand what it is that we're trying to show you here?" And the only honest answer after many years was, "Yeah, probably." Okay? Because we all need that from time to time. From time to time, we're all a little bit clueless. From time to time, we're a little resistant. From time to time, we don't really want to pay attention or to change course or to do what God is asking us. At least I'm like that. Maybe you're not. But that's when we need the Holy Spirit as that strong driving force. All right? But notice that sometimes God can just whisper to us or breathe at us. And that's the example we get in the gospel tonight, okay? So on that first Easter night, and again, this is the reading that we used on Easter Sunday, all right? But on that first Easter night, and now on this last Easter night, we hear in the scriptures that when Jesus came upon and among his disciples on that night after the resurrection, he breathes on them when he gives them the Spirit. Not the strong driving wind, but a simple breath. And in that simple breath, he basically tells them to receive the Spirit. But then, lest we think that being breathed upon is any easier, the instruction he gives is still difficult. He says, "Forgive other sins." He says, "If you forgive them, they'll be forgiven. If you hold them bound, then they're going to be held bound." Now, this is one of those passages that I think that sometimes we as Catholics get a little high and mighty about, okay? I cannot read the passage that basically reads the way some people want to interpret it. Well, that means that we can go tell everybody what to do, and if we feel like holding people's sins against them, then they will be. Now, as hard as I try, I cannot read the passage that way. Think about it a minute. This is Jesus on the night after the resurrection. If he had been one of those that wanted to take revenge, if he had been one of those that wanted to get back at, if he had been one of those that operated at anything other than love, he would have said, "Now, go out there and get those people who did that to me." But is that Jesus' message? No. His message, again, is one of love. When he basically says to his disciples, "Go do for the world what I always did for you." And is that not the whole purpose of the resurrection anyway, but the forgiveness of our sins? And so he's saying to his disciples, "Do what I've done for you." He gives them the same message that he gave Peter a few chapters before. And he gives them this message now to the whole church, and he says, "Learn how to forgive people's sins." He basically is saying, go out and find whatever it is that holds them chained down, and then unlock it for them and let them go free. That's, I believe, the message that Jesus is trying to give. Not that we get to run around being the boss of everybody. I can't interpret it that way. hard as I might try. We've got to remember that we're to carry on Jesus' mission. And Jesus' mission is always one of freeing the world from its sins, not holding them bound. That's not what Jesus desires to do. If anybody truly wants to be forgiven, the Lord wants to offer it to anyone who asks. We should be doing the same. Now, it's difficult sometimes. It's always difficult to forgive. It's always difficult to try in our lives, okay, to act in the person of Jesus, to be other Christs. That is difficult for us to do because we all want to speak in our own voices. We all want to hear in our own with our own ears. But we're not asked to speak in our own voices and hear with our own ears. We're asked to hear God's voice, and we're asked as people of faith to be the voice of Christ. Which means that we've got to be like all the folks in that first reading who somehow heard God's voice together, who somehow heard God's message together. Now think for just a moment how different the world would be if we could all hear God's voice together coming from different directions. Think how different the world would have looked the last few weeks if indeed the Palestinians and the Israelis could have heard God's voice together. How different might the world have looked? Let's move the example a little closer to home. It always hurts a little bit more when we do. How different would it be if Democrats and Republicans could somehow hear God's voice together and somehow make a difference for everyone at the same time? How different would our country look right now? I'm even going to move the example even a little closer to home. How different would it look if St. Peter's and St. Mary's could somehow hear the voice of God together and move together with a little less competition and a little bit more, well, we can do all this together as one family. You're going to have one pastor now, so you might as well cope and give in a little. Because it's going to be a whole lot easier on your pastor if you do. Okay? And who knows? Maybe we'd look a little different if we could do that a little bit easier instead of resisting and wanting to just be what we are rather than maybe what perhaps God wants a little bit more of. You see, this much I'm sure. God doesn't want us sitting just where we are. God wants more. God wants to be more. God wants us to love more. God wants this world to look a little bit more like what God wants rather than perhaps we might want. And so tonight, I'm going to pray that the Spirit blows in our lives. I'm going to hope that He can just breathe on us and get it done. But if we need that strong driving wind, well, take it if it hits. Because we need to pray for the Spirit to continue to empower the church that God's will might be done. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love.